Good evening. It's a blessing to see each of you for this revival service on Tuesday evening, October the 6th, isn't it? 2020. Sometimes I lose count. I'm going to be reading tonight from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Genesis, chapter 3, and Matthew, chapter 16. Get these papers sorted where I don't get them mixed up. Genesis chapter 3, Matthew chapter 16. I want you to pay careful attention to the reading of God's Word. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. I'm going to read now in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 16, beginning with verse 21. Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. That's a pretty strong step, isn't it? Peter took Jesus and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things which be of God, but those that be of men. I want to bring a message tonight taken from these two passages of Scripture that I first heard over 50 years ago. Somehow in recent days I've had an interest to look back, to restudy, to develop again, and to preach some of the old themes that were preached years ago. Tonight is one of these messages. I like to give credit these days to others, especially when I borrow some of their thoughts or their material. I feel that I owe them that much respect. I first became acquainted with this message in a little paper that came to my father's house when I was a young boy. The name of the paper was The Sword of the Lord. Anybody ever heard of that? The editor was John R. Rice, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. It came one time to the house, and the title of my message tonight was on the first page. I read the message. It gripped me. It was a powerful message. At that time, I knew very little about the man who had preached the message. Over the years, I've learned a great deal about the man who preached the message. The man whose message was in that paper was Dr. R.K. Ian Paisley. Dr. Paisley, who is now deceased, was the founder and the pastor of Martyrs Memorial Presbyterian Church in Belfast, Northern Ireland. He pastored there for over 50 years. He preached many times in this country and was closely associated with Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., the founder of Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina. He was frequent speaker at Founders Days and special occasions in the campus, on the campus at Greenville. Now what I've borrowed from him tonight is his title and his three main points. So some of you can relax now. I only have three points tonight. So just relax. Take your time. Listen. I think the title is what grabbed me more than anything initially about the message. But as I began to study the message, his message, and as I've studied it over the years, I've come to realize the value and the power of this message. Now some of you are going to kind of laugh when I give you the title. You might ought to laugh if you can, because I doubt if you'll laugh after the title. I'm going to preach a message tonight, Dr. Paisley called Three Knots in the Devil's Tail. Three knots in the devil's tail. Now, in order to preach the message, I want you to look back to Genesis, and I want to put my finger on why he calls it that. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1. Look back at that text, first verse that I read. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall, what's the next word? Not eat of every tree of the garden. How many of you see the not? Now, who's doing the talking? The devil. The devil. I preached the message one time, and this is going to turn some of you wrong side out. I preached the message one time, on the lies that are in the Bible. Now that's a little too much for some of you to handle. I didn't say God lied, but do you expect the father of lies to be telling you the truth? According to Jesus, the devil is a liar and the father of lies. If you're a liar, you must be kin to it. Think it over. That's his main profession, is lying, spreading false information. Do you believe this information is false, that he is whispering in the ear of Eve in the quietness of that garden? You better believe it's false information. Now, I want you to look on down in verse number 4. And again, the serpent or the devil is the one doing the talking. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall, what's the next word? Not surely die. What had God said? You shall die. And the serpent said, ye shall not surely die. Now, recall the text in Matthew. Jesus has said, I'm going into Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer many things, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be raised again. And all of a sudden, Peter jumps up, rebukes him, and says, this shall not be in the reign. And Jesus addressed Simon Peter with this term, get thee behind me, Satan. How many of you see the three knots? I've got to clarify one more thing and we're ready to go to preach. You see, not, like I'm talking about, is not K-N-O-T. Like a knot in a rope or knots, you know, speed on the waves of the ocean or something like that. No, it's N-O-T. Negative. Neither is the word tail, T-A-I-L. It is T-A-L-E. You get it? How many of you still with me? How many of you know what I'm preaching on? I'm preaching on three knots in the devil's tail. Now, the word T-A-L-E is oftentimes associated with people who tell tall tales. I remember one time I told Stacy's dad, Jerry Jones, I said, you ought to write a book. I'll make up the title and do the foreword to it. He said, well, what will we call it? I'd say, Tall Tales from Troubled Times. Now when somebody tells a tall tale, But if that means they were bad off base, okay? All right, I want us to look at these three main verses. That's all we're going to look at tonight. I thought surely I'd get an amen with that, but I didn't even get an amen with that. Maybe it'll get better. Now let's look at Genesis 3, verse 1. I'm going to tell you what this is about. What we're talking about in Genesis 3 and verse number 1 is what I will call a divine prohibition. A divine prohibition. Now when something is prohibited, that means it is forbidden. When something is on the prohibited list, you don't do that. There's a line there. You don't cross over that. That's out of territory. Now I want to remind you of who's doing the talking. You see, I made a statement something about the lies in the Bible a while ago, and that puts a hard thing to swallow for some people. Now what I'm telling you is this. You see, the doctrine of inspiration is this. It guarantees that the record in the Bible is accurate. That's what inspiration is about. That is, when the truth is being told, it's accurately recorded. But if a lie is being told, it's accurately recorded. How many understand what I'm telling? I'm not trying to undermine your confidence or your faith in the Bible at all. I'm just trying to help you to understand. You've got to pay attention to who's doing the talking. And be careful who you're listening to. Are you going to get caught up in some of these knots? Divine prohibition. You could say the devil is suggesting to Eve there are no boundaries. There are no standards. Whatever you want, help yourself. You can have it all. Isn't it interesting that early in the dawn of human civilization, somebody is suggesting that there should be no boundaries on human behavior, no regulations at all, no right, no wrong, do whatever you please. Isn't it interesting? That was suggested early in the dawn of civilization. You and I believe, are down to the very closing time of human civilization, and one of the prominent things you hear in modern society is no boundaries, no boundaries, no boundaries, nothing right, nothing wrong, do whatever you feel like doing. You're living in a society that is said, let's cast off all the bans. Let's cast off all restrictions. Let's do our own thing. I want to remind you tonight, the worst judgment God ever puts on a man, woman, boy, or girl is turn you loose and let you do what you want to do. Turn you over yourself. You know what you'll do? You'll hang yourself. You'll kill yourself. You'll destroy yourself. You'll destroy everything about you if God just turns you loose. You better hope God never does. Divine prohibition. No boundaries. Let me give you 5 points on this right quick. some boundaries in creation, weren't they? What kind of boundaries in creation? Well, there was day and night. That's a boundary, isn't it? There were diets and appetites. And God did not say, here's the garden, eat everything that you want and everything you see. He said, now you can eat of every tree of the garden, but there is a tree in the midst of the garden. If you eat of that tree, you're going to die. God put that boundary in. He said, now you get over that boundary. The penalty is death. Somebody asked me, said, what kind of a tree do you think that was? I said, thanks for nothing. I know what kind it was. It's a forbidden tree. And they said, well, what kind of fruit do you think it was? I said, if I had to guess, I'd say it's a fig book. He said, well, what did they say on? I said, they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. If it wasn't the fig bush they ate from, the fig bush wasn't far away. Don't look at me like that. My guess is just as good as yours. But my first answer is correct, wasn't it? It was a forbidden tree. It doesn't make any difference. Somebody said, well, it must have been the apple in the tree. No, that wasn't the problem. It was the pear on the ground. Anybody get that? The pair, the couple on the ground. We're talking about divine prohibitions. There were some prohibitions in creation. There were prohibitions in the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 12. Some of the commandments say, thou shalt, and some of the commandments are, thou shalt. There are negative commandments, there are positive commandments. But you would have to agree, there's boundary lines involved in those commandments. Let me give you this, I'm moving on. One of the best things you'll ever realize in your life is that God is just as good in what He withholds from you as He is in what He gives. Boy, aren't you glad God cares enough about you to say to you, no. You don't go there. You don't do that. You don't get involved with that. You know what God's doing for you and me? He's protecting us if we'll have gumption enough to listen. He has our best interests at heart. Now, there were boundaries in the commandments. There are also boundaries in the church. When you get to the New Testament, boundaries in the church. You say, well, what boundaries do we have? Well, one of the largest boundaries is Jude chapter 3. We as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ are to contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. I didn't say we were to be contentious, but we are to be contenders. That word faith in that verse is not talking about your experiential faith, your personal faith. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the body of revealed truth and Holy Spirit. Baptists used to have a phrase, where the Word of God speaks, we speak. Where it don't speak, we are silent. That's a good motto to go by. That's what we ought to still be going by. Don't ever read the Word of God and say, but I think. You're fixing to get in the ditch with something. Don't ever read the Word of God and start an argument with it. You don't have to understand everything the Bible says, but you better be accepting what it says. understanding will come with time. When you read the book of 1 Timothy, you'll find there are guidelines given there for those who serve in offices in the church. And the way the church is to operate in the world is laid out in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, what we call the pastoral epistles. And I want to remind you of something. Just because it's 2020, you and I do not have the authority nor the order to rewrite the Bible. You and I need to reread the Bible and get ourselves to going back to what God said in His Word. You say, preacher, I think it needs to be updated a little bit. I want to ask you a question. What do you think God knows now He didn't know when He gave us this book? God's not learning anything, folks. He's known it all from the beginning. Misstated that. He's known it all before the beginning. He's not learning anything. You've never surprised Him, and you never will. He don't get surprised. Are you hearing me tonight? God gave us the book. We need to contend for it. Now look. Not only are there boundaries in the church. When I read in Revelation 21. How many of you were here last Wednesday night? Anybody here? Some of you were here. I was here last Wednesday night. Our pastor done a terrific job. Revelation chapter number 21. We made a tour of the great city John saw coming down out of heaven adorned as a bride for her. That's an amazing thing. Can I remind you tonight, that city has a great wall around it. Shock, shock, shock. It's got a great wall. Pastor, how tall was that wall? 216 feet tall. There's some people I'd like to see climb that. I ain't going to tell you what I'd like to see happen after they get to the top, but I preach on it. Hey, look. It had a great high wall. What's that about? Think about it. Not only did it have walls, it had some nice gates around there. Right? Nice gates. It talks about some of those gates, one pearl. That's got to be a big one, right? But it has walls, it has gates. To me, that's a boundary. You say, well, the gates were not shut at all by day, and there's no night there, so that means the gates are never shut. I agree. I just put in my notes about the celestial city. There's a great wall around it. Oh, decorated superbly, wonderfully. And then I said it had grace gates. A great wall and grace gates. How many of you get that? Gates that were purchased by the blood of the Lamb. That's the only way you'll ever get in. I wrote this down. That city is large in its size. 1,500 miles cubed. That's pretty good size place. A little bigger than Sebastopol or Forest. Just a shade bigger than a lake. 1,500 miles cubed any direction you want to go. It's large in its size. It's liberal in its luxuries. It's luminous in its light. It's long in its endurance. It's lovely in its population. However, it is locked to every person outside of Jesus Christ. You say, well, the gate's open. I'll run in. You'll never make it in. Why? there are boundaries. I'm not going to say much about this. Too many people get offended by it. I hear people saying, walls don't work. You ever heard anybody say that? But those same people have walls on their house. If they got a house, they got a wall. Right? Do they work? I wonder what they're there for. I would put a motion, if I were a senator, I'd try to put a motion on the floor that everybody that don't believe walls work, take the walls off of their house. Just take them off. See how they like it. You know where I learned that walls work? Building fences to keep the cows in. Son, that took me a long time to learn to work. I'll leave it alone. I just got so close I had to gouge somebody. Pardon me. Are you listening to me? The person who has decided they will accept no boundaries, no prohibitions in their life is a person that will never have a life worth living. You get outside the boundaries God has placed, you are in major trouble. Now, let's go back, Genesis 3. I'm back to verse 4 now. Verse 4. Now, in verse 3, it's evident that the devil made light of what God had said. Yea, hath God said, he made light of. That's like some people make light of we that believe the Bible. They make light of us. They said that's simple-minded old hayseed folk. They've never been to college. They don't know how to read and write. And they don't know what we're doing. Well, few of us know how to read. Write a little bit. Huh? I can write like a doctor. I can't read his nor mine. But I can write like one. Are you listening to me tonight? No boundaries. I tell you what, the same people that don't want any boundaries. You know what's going on in these cities where they're burning everything to the ground? They don't want any boundaries. How do you know? They don't want any police, right? They don't know anybody that has any order about them, no authority about them. Don't want to have anybody around. We ain't going to have any of that. I'm going to tell you what, you hadn't got any authority in your life. You're headed for calamity. Are you listening to me? It's the craziest thing you ever heard of. I mean, that's the nicest word I know to say about it. It's just crazy. Who came up with that idea? The devil was the first one who came up with it. And whoever's tried to use it since is either following or part of his family. I'll let you decide. Alright? Let's go to the second one. Verse number 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall what? Not surely die. Now what we have here is divine punishment. Right? Divine punishment. If you prefer, you may use the word penalty. Same thing. You eat of that tree, you're going to die. Well, I believe I will. One time won't hurt. Thank the Lord, there's a few young people scattered around in the congregation here and there. And one of the tricks of the devil is to tell you, now God didn't mean what he said. You can ease over that. You can participate. You can do those things. Yeah, but what you don't realize is every sin has its own penalty built into it. Every one of them. Oh, I can drink a little alcohol, or I can take a few drugs, or I can, engage in illicit relationships with this person or that person or whoever I desire. After all, I'm young. I've got to sow my wild oats. I just want to remind you something. There's some consequences of every sin you ever commit. One of the most powerful sermons I ever heard, Dr. Percy Ray preached it years ago. He said, God may not keep you from doing it, but you can't keep God from fulfilling the punishment that goes with it. You better think that over. You can't keep God from the punishment that goes with it. See, He's built into every sin consequences. You put things in your body that are abusive to your body, I promise you, down the road, maybe not immediately, but down the road, the thing's going to catch up with you. I remember years ago, I had a construction accident, broke every toe on my right foot except the little one. I literally took my boot off and poured blood out of it. Put my sock back on, went back to work. I went to see my druggist whom I knew real well and got some medicine. He said, you better go have that fixed. I said, what can the doctor do for it? He said, operate on it. I said, land sakes, it's already been operated on. Looks to me like it. And he said, well, I'll tell you one thing. I'll get you through this. But when you get old, it's coming home to roost. Sometime you see me limping around, you say, what's the matter with you? Don't ask nothing about it. It'll be all right. I'm just reaping some of what I sowed. My wife has a name for it. She calls it hard-headedness. I notice some of you probably agree with her. Listen, why did the flood come in Noah's day? How many of you caught what I just did? You see, I'd slip one on you. You're not listening good. The flood didn't just come. The flood was sent. The flood was sent. Now somebody tell me out there, don't be ashamed. Somebody tell me, who sent it? God. Oh, do you mean to tell me God would do something like that? Why, he put Noah up in the corner and he said, Noah, you better start building on this thing. I'm going to give you the direction. You better start this because I am going to send the flood. How many in this room recognizes that flood was a divine punishment on sin? Divine punishment on sin. We've read about Sodom and Gomorrah. Now God didn't send the flood on Sodom and Gomorrah. What did He send? Fire. fire. God sent fire. What is that about? Punishment on sin. 13 times in your Bible, the word famine or evidence of a famine is seen in the lids of this Bible. And every time, without exception, God sent famine because of the rebellion and the wickedness of humanity. There is future punishment. I read today Psalm 9 and verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Will you answer me something? Where is America heading tonight? We've been heading a long time. I'm sounding alarm. My mission here this week is to upset some of you. Literally to stir you up. I hope I get you to where you have trouble sleeping. Why? Because you and I are in a moment where there is a very significant situation developing. Every sin God is going to judge. You mark it down. Somebody asked me, they said, do you think God sent this COVID-19? I said, well, I don't have enough clout, probably, to know the answer directly. But I will ask you this question. Who sent the flood? Who sent the fire on Sodom? Who sent the famines? Who sent the fiery serpents in the wilderness? They didn't just come. Your Bible says God sent them. Now you can extrapolate from that whatever you want, but I'm here to tell you, we're not in trouble with China. We're not in trouble with the rest of the world. We're in trouble with God Almighty. Bad trouble. I read today, Matthew 25:41. The Lord's going to look at some people one day and said, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I read in Revelation 20:15 where our pastor taught a couple of weeks ago, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. They didn't just go one jump in the lake of fire. They are cast into the lake of fire. You better hear me tonight. Almighty God, holy God, holy God is one day going to literally scoop up a godless, rebellious, God-hating world and put them in hell. If you're not saved, never get saved, you'll be in that crowd. You say, why? God is not only gracious and merciful, but God is holy and God is just. And His justice and holiness demands that sin which has offended Him must be judged. Yeah. Got to give you one more point and then I'm going to my last thought. We're talking about punishment. Divine punishment. The fact of the cross underscores the fact that there's always punishment for sin. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He died for our sins. You say, what does that mean? He took our punishment. Our sin deserved the back of God's hand. But He stepped up at Calvary and said, I'll take it. I'll take it in their place. I'll take it in their room. I'll pay in their stead where they won't ever have to pay. Now, I want to ask you something tonight. How can I turn around and say, God, I don't like your boundaries. I don't like your rules. I don't like your lifestyle. I'm going to do my own thing and throw myself in the face of such holy love as that. Let me say just a word about the Matthew text, Matthew 16. That is an amazing chapter, and I guess I shouldn't mention it, but maybe you can study it for yourself. In the earlier part of the 16th chapter of Matthew, Simon Peter receives the greatest revelation that a man could ever receive. The question was, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Various names were floated out, and Simon Peter was the one who stepped up and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I submit to you, that's the greatest revelation a man can ever have. To know who Jesus Christ really is. I call attention to that because just a few verses later, where I read tonight, when the Lord turns and says, I must go to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. And Peter began to rebuke him and said, This shall not be unto thee. Be it far from thee. This shall not be unto thee. It's amazing how much a man can know and then how little a man can know. And it's all right there close together. Have you ever heard that wisdom and foolishness camps close together? Solomon was one of the wisest men that ever lived and played the biggest fool you'll ever read about. You can say amen. It's well documented in the Bible. Simon Peter had such a great revelation. Thou art the Christ. And then when the same Christ begins to tell it, this is what's going to happen, and this is why it's going to happen, this is how it's going to proceed. Oh, this shall not be. We've talked about divine prohibition, divine punishment, divine propitiation. Divine propitiation. I'd like to talk about that a while, but I can't. I'm going to just say it like this. The blood of His cross is the one and only satisfaction for our sins. Oh, listen. If you think you can do enough to make amends for all the bad you've done, you're sadly misinformed. The only thing that could ever satisfy God about your sin and about my sin is that our Lord Jesus Christ was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God. His blood is the one and only satisfaction for our sin. The blood of His cross is the secret of our victory over Satan. Revelation 12:11. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony and loved not their lives to the death. The blood of His cross is the security of our souls. one of my favorite hymns was written by Mr. Augustus Montague Toplady back in the 1700s. I read again today the history behind the song. Not going to tell you all of it. Don't have time. But I found this very interesting. Mr. Toplady, at 16 years of age, left his home in London and traveled to Ireland, which is not that far away. And one night in a field that he was passing by, he heard some people singing. And he discovered they were in a little barn off out in that field. And he made his way to that little barn. And his testimony was that there was a man preaching in that barn that could not even write his name. He would have somebody to read from the Bible, and then he would preach. You say, well, I'd be embarrassed. Oh, no. If God called you to preach, whether you could read or not, you need to preach. I've known several people that couldn't read when God called them. Eventually they learned to read some. Look, don't ever be embarrassed about what God's put his hand on you to do. This man preached the gospel. Mr. Toplady is a young man, well educated, heard the man's message. A few days after that, saved by the grace of God, 16 years old. He became a pastor. He didn't live to be but 38 years of age. He died from overwork and tuberculosis. But before he died, he wrote this song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no languor know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand, no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on my throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. I have a question. Our musicians are going to be coming. Our pastor's coming. My question to you is this. Have you ignored the boundaries? Have you stepped over the line of God's prohibition? Have you ignored the warning of His punishment? Have you been living your life as if nobody's going to tell me what to do, not even God? That's the attitude of many people in our world. Nobody's going to. Please, listen. If you will receive it, if you can believe it, He paid your penalty on that hill when the Rock of Ages side was riven and out gushed the water and the blood. You can find a hiding place in the Lord. Let's stand our feet. Brother Duncan is coming. If God has spoken to your heart, you're invited to respond publicly. Everybody Jesus ever called, He called them publicly. Preacher, I can't do that. I can't do that. You better read the book. I'm saying to you tonight, if God has clearly spoken to you, you need to make your way to this altar. Maybe to pray over your own life. Maybe to pray for somebody else. Don't let anything stop. We're not in a mad rush. We got plenty of time. That's all we've got. Let's get it settled right here tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father in heaven, I pray for this waiting congregation. They've patiently listened, and I pray they've heard a voice beyond mine. I pray for that heart that you've spoken to, that soul that you've quickened to know their real condition. Help them to run to Calvary with all their might. Find forgiveness. Find fellowship and family in our Lord. In His precious name I pray. While she plays, you need to come. Just make your way.